Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
It was 110 degrees inside that club, and me and Amit are just up there dancing our asses off to Sam and Dave.
More sad news from the world of music. The soul singer Sam Moore has died at age 89. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I guess, Patrick, the first thing we need to answer is, who was Sam Moore?
Well, he was the first half of Sam and Dave, the revolutionary soul duo was part of the Stax record recording setup in the 1960s, and certainly for our generation, Jim, at least for me anyway, became well known once a movie came out in the 1970s that was John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd as the Blues Brothers. And part of that, I guess those personas and those characters were based on a soul duo that was Sam and Dave. And right. I think a lot of people thought that the Blues Brothers wrote Soul Man
right.
and didn't really know that it was a Sam and Dave song. And certainly I didn't know about Sam and Dave until that movie came out. And then I went back and learned, that's where it came from, the song.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Totally. It was a great tribute to them almost. And in fact, the Blues Brothers used at least a couple of key members of the same band that backed up Sam and Dave. So we'll get to that in a moment, because I have a little story about my own sort of discovery of Sam and Dave that includes some of this. But let's just talk about Sam and Dave for a moment. Soul duo came up in the mid-60s, had hits in the mid and late 60s. I mean, some of these songs you still hear today in pop culture. I mean, I think there's even a commercial, TV commercial for something that I see a lot during sporting events that uses Hold On, I'm Coming. There's Wrap It Up. You mentioned Soul Man. There's I Thank You, which was I want to get into the covers in a moment. But there's a lot of these songs that are just like American pop music canon, that they recorded. And they did this stuff at Stax Record. There was some kind of partnership between Stax in Memphis and Atlantic Records to put this stuff out. These, were some big hit singles, and they rivaled some of the, Motown superiority at that time. And I would just say Sam Moore as a singer, and he was sort of the tenor of the between Sam and Dave. His voice, not just the sound of his voice, but the way he used it, the expression and the feeling. I mean, you got to put him up there with like Otis Redding, Marvin Gaye. He's right there in the top tier of soul singers, right?
I would totally agree with that. And, it's interesting that the way their two voices blended together took place, because it was entirely accidental. And there's a great book by Robert Gordon called Express Yourself, Respect Yourself, I should say, sorry, Stax Records and the Soul Explosion. And Robert Gordon, the famous writer about Memphis. I want to read just briefly, Jim, this origin story. And I remember reading into this book, and I wanted to go back and find it for this. So let me quote. There's a couple paragraphs here. The two men, Sam Moore and Dave Prater, the rafter-shaking singers who would become famous as Sam and Dave, did not know each other when they began performing together. The success of the first duet, as impromptu and unplanned as a high wire fall, revealed that each had an innate understanding of how the other would move physically and vocally. Sam Moore had scuffled his way into hosting a talent show at a nightclub, the King of Hearts, in his hometown of Miami. Dave Prater was a bread baker. Sam remembers that when Dave signed up for that week's show, he was wearing his Baker's whites. Wherever he walked, he left behind white flower shoe prints. At the audition, Dave sang a Jackie Wilson song, Doggin' Around, but realized he didn't know all the verses. Sam, whose job depended on selecting acts and would produce a good show, agreed to stay close during the performance and feed him the lines. But that night, Sam's foot caught the microphone cable, and as the mic began to fall, Dave went down to catch it, and Sam went down to catch Dave. Choreographers couldn't have arranged it better. They came up together, singing with the mic in hand. In that little mix-up, the act was born that would be the better part of 22 years and would remain forever a part of the public consciousness. So that's pretty hilarious. He was just at an open mic, and they had this amazing thing. And it was that tension between them, and that their relationship was famously tumultuous throughout the time, but the tension between them and how they worked so hard to kind of be right on top of each other, and the high part from Sam and the lower part from Dave. And there's just something in that pull that was incredible. And word started to get around in that area of how good these two were together, and eventually got to Jerry Wexler of Atlantic Records, as you mentioned. And Ahmet and Jerry went down to Miami to catch this act. And there's a quote in here where they were like, it was 110 degrees inside that club, and me and Ahmet are just up there dancing our asses off to Sam and Dave. And interestingly, they signed Sam and Dave to Atlantic, as you said. And at the time, Atlantic had a deal with Stax, where Atlantic was distributing Stax recordings. But Stax had contracts with all those artists. This is the first time there was an Atlantic artist that they sent to Stax to work with them. And both Sam and Dave thought, when they got signed to Atlantic, hey man, we're going to be in New York, this is going to be the big time. And when they were told they were going to Memphis, they were like, what the, you know, we're not going down south in the middle of Tennessee. You know, in the mid 60s, they were both pretty disappointed, until of course they got down there. And for a while, Isaac Hayes and David Porter, the two songwriters, were an integral part of this team. It was almost like the four of them, you know, Porter and Hayes writing the songs and Sam and Dave performing them. And so that really became the key partnership for a lot of these songs.
An amazing set of circumstances, right, that
incredible.
Brought these people together, because you had really part of the reason these songs endure today, these recordings, I should say, endure today, is because you have the perfect marriage between singers, songwriters, and band.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all those three components are just, you couldn't change anything.
No, it's amazing.
And make these better, right?
Yeah.
The songs were just, I mean, they're just great, you know, memorable songs, but and the band is just amazing. It's, you know, it's essentially Booker T and the MGs, yes. Right? And what is the horn section called? Oh, the Marquees.
The Marquees, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the horn section. I mean, yep. Just a blistering, you know, tight and but yet soulful band. And then these guys, you know, with their voices and you know, Sam Moore, just a... Sam Moore's voice has, like, sort of both beauty and power, yes, to it. And it was just... It was great for that, especially that particular era of soul music, I think, you know, where you had... Where you're sort of competing against rock that was getting harder. And, you know, they just had so much power in this. This was not Sam Cooke kind of style.
Not at all.
Of R&B, right?
It's this a was great, like, point.
Yeah. So, the I also want to mention too, I didn't even know this until I was reading this New York Times obit, that they had a couple of really cool nicknames too that people called them. The Sultans of Sweat,
yeah,
and Double Dynamite.
That's the
so
one
that
I
should
love.
Tell yeah. you something about how they performed, right?
It was amazing, you know, when they finally took the Stax review to the UK on that famous tour. Stax and Sam and Dave and all these guys were kind of working in a vacuum. They didn't really understand how far reaching their music had been. And they, you know, they went over there, and suddenly there were people everywhere coming to see them and wanting autographs and wanting to talk to them. And they were like, we didn't know, you know, we were just kind of in this studio down there doing our thing. And Sam and Dave, by all accounts, were slaying people. You know, and Otis Redding, especially, who was the headliner, was like, I'm yep. never going on tour with those guys opening for me. You know, he was dead after every show because he had to work so hard to top what they had done. And he, you know, he basically privately was like, don't ever put those suits on in front of me again.
What a compliment, too, because Otis Redding had some real power.
Oh, my God. You know? He was the best. And
yeah,
it took everything he had just to match him, which yeah. really tells you something.
Very cool. So I'll tell you really quickly here my white Midwestern kid story of how I came to discover Sam and Dave. And I'm so glad I did. But you mentioned the Blues Brothers, yep. and that was probably the first step, right? So the Blues Brothers came out in, like, yeah, 79, 80, something like that, and was a huge hit movie. And as I mentioned, as much as we loved all the jokes in it and everything, one of the great things you came to appreciate was just how much they, what reverence they gave to the music and the musicians, the music that they performed, and also the, you know, the musicians who appeared in the movie. And Sam Moore wasn't in that movie, but they, I think, play Soothe Me at one point. Mm. Like, you hear it playing.
That's right.
The yeah. Blues Brothers don't play, but I think you hear it playing one time when they're, like, driving in a car.
Yes,
or something.
I believe that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which is a great song. Soothe Me is awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, you know, and the Blues Brothers, even though they're called the Blues Brothers, you know, most of the music that they performed or was performed in that movie was really like R&B and soul,
mm-hmm.
Not like straight blues, you know?
Right.
And so you just, as a kid, sort of, it opened your eyes to, huh, that's kind of interesting, you know? And you know, if Belushi likes it, then that's got to be cool.
There you go,
know?
Right.
And all that, right? So there was that. Now, I still don't think I necessarily made the connection to, like, you know, Stax Records and all that kind of stuff, but it sort of opened my ears a little bit. And then there were a few songs I have heard over the years that later I learned were originally recorded by Sam and Dave, right?
Yep.
So, of course, you mentioned Soul Man, Blues Brothers, I Thank You, ZZ Top.
Yep.
And I Can't Stand Up for Falling Down, Elvis Costello.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is interesting, too. Now it's like sort of like, these bands that I like, or these artists I like, also covering Sam and
yeah.
Dave. And then sort of the key thing was, this would have been in the late 80s. There was a movie that came out. It's sort of a cult movie, but I just love it. But you got to be sort of a music geek to like this movie.
Yes.
It's called Tapeheads.
Yes.
And in the movie, it stars Tim Robbins and John Cusack, and they play music video directors. And it's a goofy comedy, but there's some smart elements to it. But these guys, these characters are infatuated. They're obsessed with this, you know, in the movie, this old soul duo called the Swanky Modes. And they're played the movie by Junior Walker and Sam Moore. And so it's sort of a kind of a Sam and Dave sort of thing. You know, Dave by that point had passed, or right around then, I think. He was in a car accident. But I think they, you know, Sam and Dave probably weren't talking to each other anyway. So they cast Junior Walker in this spot, which was great. And anyway, so they play this like soul duo, but they're, you know, at this point older and sort of playing like lounges and kind of stuff like that. And then there's sort of a part of the plot here is trying to help them out and bring them back up. But anyway, Sam Moore's great in it, you know, and he sings quite a bit in this movie. And he was just like blown away because, again, although the movie's a comedy, they take the music in this movie quite seriously as well, too. And the Swanky Mode songs especially are actually like they're good songs. And you hear there's one song in particular that's played that's like a ballad. Uh-huh. It's called Audience for My Pain. And you and they play it. I think like the whole song plays in the movie and Sam Moore sings this and he just kills it. He just kills it. And you're just sitting there going, man, who is this guy? Right. And so then, of course, it's like at that point, I'm like, well, now I got it. Now I'm all in. So then you go, you know, you go back and you get like this, like a CD, the very best of Sam and Dave. And you listen to all this stuff and you're just like, this is amazing. And despite all those covers being great covers, it's like they don't top the originals. These are awesome. These are just perfectly done recordings, I think.
Two things on their discography. One is in the 70s, Sam and Dave did re-record a lot of their original hits for, I don't know, financial reasons, I guess, more than anything else. So when you're looking around for stuff, you got to be a little bit careful about these re-recorded versions. But I want to go back to the point you made, Jim, about the power in these songs. And it's not only the hits, the songs that we've mentioned, or the, you know, the songs that have been covered by others or permeated through culture, as you said, but also, you know, songs like You Don't Know Like I Know. One of my favorite songs is one called You Got Me Hummin'. That's an incredible song. Thank you. another one called Toehold that's one of my favorites. And they're a little bit deep cut-ish, but they're also, like you said, as powerful as anything you can get, you know, when they put this guitar and these horns together, it has the impact of rock and roll, you know, the heavier 60s stuff. And right. You can see why these groups covered it, you know, like ZZ Top especially is a great example. Like, how does ZZ Top and Sam and Dave go together? But it is that power, like you said. I think you hit it right on the head. It's just an underlying, it is dynamite. It's double dynamite, and it's amazing. Yes, yeah,
double
really
dynamite,
amazing.
Right. Oh, one other cover I forgot to mention that was a big hit in, what, the 80s or early 90s Wrap It Up.
That's
the right. Fabulous
Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds,
yeah.
Did that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. With
right.
Jimmy
That's
Vaughn.
That's right. They had a huge hit with
guitar,
that record.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just a great, I mean, just a tremendous catalog. They didn't record a ton.
No.
Sam and Dave, three, four albums, something like that. But, you know, it's a pretty amazing catalog, and just, you know, the singing, you know, it just be really hard pressed
That's
to find
right.
any better.
And it's one of those, situations with Sam, where it's impossible to trace, just as the number and diversity of covers we've mentioned, it's impossible to trace the influence that he had, because I think it just is so widespread, you know, that it just permeated so many different genres of music. It's really incredible.
Yeah, great stuff. All right, so rest in power, Sam Moore. All right. Well, on to happier things in the coming episodes. I would like to give thanks to all the people who have been contributing to the Best of 2024, the 2024
Amen.
Favorites series that we're doing. We'll get back into that. So I thank you. And it's going great. And we're going to have our picks coming up toward the end of the month.
It's going to be fun.
All right. Let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we will talk to you all later.
I want everybody to get up off your seat and get your arms together and your hands together and give me some of that old.
Sultans of Sweat and Double Dynamite.